Brenton, first of all, massive congratulations on your retirement. To say it's been some journey since you began is quite an understatement, I would say.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's hard to know when to define when the start was, because I don't really remember ever not doing athletics, to be honest. I was always competing as a kid, and yeah, even under seven, winning the national silver medal in the sprints at that age. And then I was pretty much hooked from the age of like 6-7 years old. So it was it's been a long journey in athletics, and it's definitely sad to say it's come to an end, but I'll definitely keep involved with athletics in some way. But yeah, just that as a sporting I suppose individual perspective, it's kind of coming to an end yet.
Well, you had some career, and we'll delve into some of the big moments in just a second, but you did touch on it there, and I want to go back right back to the start. You mentioned there winning races from the age of seven, but how does a young lad from Milford end up becoming an elite race walker, three-time Olympian? Just talk us through the early days and where it all began, Brenton.
Yeah, obviously Milford is where the stage was set, and I guess Hugo Dugan was kind of the master at the time in Milford Club. And just, I think, for whatever reason, Milford at that time, when I was kind of growing up, was massively into athletics. And I remember even community games that, you know, the Donegal team for community games would be like 50% from Milford. So it was just happened to be at the right place at the right time in terms of environment and how big athletics was in the Milford area at that time. And yeah, so obviously started off in the sprint events, which is probably natural for someone that young. And then, yeah, had a little bit of success in the sprints, and then that kind of faded out a small bit. So I was looking for other things to do, and I always liked, you know, doing every event. So I'd do a bit of cross country in the winter, I'd do my walks, I'd start walking then at the age of 12. So the under 13 was the age group for community games for race walking. So that kind of introduced me to walking through community games as well. And Hugo Dugan's daughter was actually race walking at the time as well, and she was a national champion. So there was actually other athletes in Milford at that time who were race walking at a, you know, at a national level. So that kind of inspired me to do it a bit more. And yeah, success. I got a little bit of success. I finished sixth in the nationals my first year walking. And then I hadn't really, you know, I just kind of took it up at the last minute basically that year. So to finish sixth, I thought it was a good result. So I was like, I decided I'd give it a full year and train for it a bit more. So yeah. And then the next year, I actually was winning the nationals a year later and got disqualified in that race. And I probably would have stopped the sport, because I think I said to someone before that race, if I win gold here, I'll just move on to something else. So actually getting disqualified, being disqualified in that race probably saved my career, because I was going to move on and do other things. Because, you know, obviously race walking isn't the most glamorous, and when you're a young kid, it's not something that, you know, everyone's doing, or there's not a lot of social aspect to it at that time. So, I kind of had it in my mind that if I won that race, I probably would just have gone on to something else. So,
bit of a sliding doors moment then.
Yeah, taking an opportunity from what was a painful incident at the time. Still remember it.
That's it. And come here, when did you, that's obviously your very early days, but then obviously it got a lot more competitive. When was the first time you kind of realised, hang on a second here, I'm actually really good at this? What, was there a particular race or a moment where you thought, I can really make a career out of this and go on to represent Ireland and potentially, you know, go on to European Worlds and ultimately where you got to, which was becoming a three-time Olympian? Do you remember a moment where it all kind of came together for you?
Yeah, it was, again, it was probably circumstance and taking advantage of a situation. So I didn't really have huge success, so I would have been meddling at national championships all through. So I did obviously race walk every year. I was finishing second and third at nationals all the way up then after that disqualification. And then I finished, I think it was only under 18 was the first time I actually won a national title in race walking. And then I went to, yeah, college, didn't really do much, so still hadn't represented Ireland really, and then decided to change courses and do physiotherapy in Coventry in the UK. And just by accident, the coach in Coventry, or one of the coaches working in Coventry at the time, was a race walking coach, and he had a small group of walkers, and one of those lads was actually training for the Beijing Olympics in 2008. So I think that was kind of 2007 I moved over there. So I ended up training with this lad called Dan King. He was and he'd qualified for Beijing. So it was the first time I'd basically been introduced to, you know, another kind of international standard athlete who could I could train with every day. And, you know, became obvious then after maybe a few months that these people are just normal. That Olympians are not these kind of special creatures that just, you know, appear out of nowhere. They're actually, you know, normal people, and yeah, you know, they get tired in training sessions, and you know, they have emotions. And I was like, geez, this, you know, obviously he was much better than me at the time, but you know, just being with him day to day, I was like, this is just normal training. This is what I've been doing all along. I just need to, you know, maybe take it to another level. So yeah, it was around 2007, you know, I kind of made that decision that, you know, if I actually apply myself a bit more to the training schedules and, you know, make it kind of a focal point in my life, that I could potentially do something. So yeah, and then a couple of years later, obviously started competing, you know, on the circuit internationally, say in Europe. And then I suppose it was 2010 then I did my first 50k, and that was extremely difficult. I would say I was only 23 at the time, so it was probably very young to kind of move up kind of more or less straight away to 50k. So yeah, that was a tough race in Dudince in 2010, and I decided I wasn't going to do that again basically, because it was so hard. And then I came back the next season, and I had to train through an injury. I got a stress fracture of my patella, and that prevented me from doing my normal day-to-day training. So I ended up basically coming up with a strategy to train every third day, and I train for as long as possible, basically. So I ended up doing a lot of long walks with that injury, and that kind of showed me that I can actually, you know, I do have the endurance to maybe go back to the 50K again. So again, just taking advantage of things that have gone wrong, and seeing the opportunity in them.
So moving on to what you accomplished, and there's a long list. You've been at three Olympic Games, one of only three Donegal sports people to represent their country at the Olympic Games, numerous world championships, European championships. But if you were to pick up a couple of races that sum up your career, Brendan, that performance at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, that was an incredible performance. You came sixth in, I think I remember it being fairly brutal conditions, and then Tokyo, 10th at the Olympics, your best ever Olympic finish. Are those two races the kind of career-defining moments that you'll always look back on, do you think?
Yeah, those two are definitely, I suppose, the best results. But I would say, I suppose what gave me the confidence was a race in the European Cup in 2017. So I finished fourth in that race. And that was probably the first time, you know, anyone even thought I could win a medal at any event. So, and then I ended up having two kind of years of kind of injury. So the rest of 2017, actually I trained pretty well. Tore my hamstring before the World Championships in London in 2017. So that was hugely disappointing. I was training really well with Rob that time, and he ended up finishing seventh, I think. So I think I would have been thereabouts with Rob in 2017 if that injury hadn't come about. And then the next year, I ended up getting another stress fracture in my tibia before Europeans in Berlin. And then before that race, Rob had said, you know, obviously training hasn't gone well. What I want you to do is feel what it's like to be in the lead group and have the mentality that, you know, you should be up there and you belong in the lead group. So I ended up walking, I think, about 35k of the European Championships in Berlin in the lead group. And then obviously the lack of training shows up in 50k, no matter how much cross training you do. So I ended up, I think I finished 18th or 19th overall, but it gave me the confidence to know that I can actually be up there with the top fellas, because Europe is very strong in race walking. So to even be in contention at a European level, and then there's only another couple of, you know, a couple of people outside of that, you know, the Australians, Chinese, Japanese. So then that gave me the confidence then to go into Doha and think, you know, a medal was possible. And obviously the conditions were very, very tough. And I felt like that played into my hands as well, being a not being super fast. So my 20K time, you know, is, you know, 5 or 6 minutes slower than most of those other lads who I was racing against over 50K. So I felt the conditions were so tough that they were going to, you know, slow everyone else down, and I could just, you know, pick up on my strengths, which is, you know, not giving up, basically. And that's kind of how it panned out. So I think I was 25th or something at halfway in that race, and then just grinded my way all the way up to sixth position in Doha. So that was amazing result. Yeah. So,
and then 10th at the Olympics, and 10th at the Olympics in Tokyo, then is that something you look back on with immense pride? I know you represented Ireland at three Olympics, but 10th at the Olympics, that is something you look back on and be very proud of.
Yeah, especially after Doha, I wanted to kind of prove that wasn't a one off, and I could, you know, I did belong at that top level in athletics. So to back up sixth with the 10th place, I think, you know, was a very, very strong result. And obviously that was a lot faster. The conditions were still tough in Tokyo, but, you know, it was like, I think, Doha was won in like 4 hours and 4 minutes, and Tokyo was 3:51. So it was like 13, 14 minutes quicker. And I was still thereabouts. So actually my time, you know, in Doha, in Tokyo, I was closer to the bronze medal, you know, time wise than I was in Doha. There was just a few extra people in between me and bronze, but time wise, I was actually, you know, closer to a medal in Tokyo. So that kind of proved that I did belong there. And then unfortunately, Tokyo ended up being the end of the 50K, so there was no more 50Ks after that. So yeah, that was kind of hard to take a little bit, that, you know, the event that I'd kind of focused in on and trained for and knew was my best event was taken away then at that point. So yeah, the last few years then have been a bit of a struggle trying to find the motivation and trying to find my niche again, if I could make it to another Olympics in Paris. But yeah, that was going to have to be over 20K, and that's just not the event I was training for. So
now you have made that decision to retire. I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision, as you say, maybe hampered with injuries in the last couple of years. How much convincing yourself did it take that it was finally time to hang up the walking shoes? And also, what's it like now, kind of knowing that you don't have to, you know, get ready for the next race and you've kind of got a weight lifted, is it a wee bit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I've definitely enjoyed this summer now with the weather we've been having at home, just relaxing with the kids, and obviously I had a new baby there back in April, so I've had a good bit of time off work as well, so I've had a free summer of watching all the sport. Like it's been some summer sport, to be fair, with the World Cup and the tennis and the Tour de France, which I'd be watching every day as well, so, and then now the athletics. So yeah, it's a more relaxed kind of lifestyle, and you're not kind of panicked every day that, you know, you have to get up and train, or exactly what you're putting into your, in your dinner every evening, or you're not focused on the small things. You're able to kind of enjoy a bit of family life and a bit of normality.
That's it. And you mentioned it there. I think we were all glued to the European Athletics Championships this week. What a week it was. Rashida Adeleke getting the silver medal. And of course, Letterkenny native Mark English doing us all proud, getting European gold. Finally, great to see Mark getting that achievement in his career. More than deserving. And Brenton, you've been around Irish athletics for a long time now. Looking at the strength of Irish athletics today, does it feel like the sport is in, you know, it's never been in a better place? And you must be very excited now about where we can go and what the next generation will bring as well.
Yeah, I think it's the largest team we've ever sent to Europeans. And I think the standards to get here are actually harder as well. So it's massive, obviously, to have all the relay teams. And I think there's a lot that can be added to those relay teams in the next couple of years. So hopefully we'll have a good few relay teams in LA. And then the rest of the squad, you know, I think anyone competing this year is going to be still there in 2 years for LA as well. So I don't think you're going to see any more retirements from any athletes over the next kind of 2 year period. But yeah, it's exciting, and obviously Kate is going in this evening session, you know, as a pretty much gold medal favorite now at this point. She's in the lead, and she's got a very strong 800, so we could be looking at another gold medal. So two golds and a silver, and you know, anything can happen in the relays as well. They seem to be very strong this morning. So yeah, three individual medals from European champs, and I think that looks like going forward that, you know, medals at European champs are pretty much a given, whereas in previous years, you know, that wasn't necessarily the case. Athletes were just going there potentially just to gain experience for other competitions. So yeah, the depth is good. You know, people are competing at a very high level, and yeah, we have a lot of, even David Kenny there in the walks. I must mention him. He had a brilliant sixth place in the half marathon this morning. So yeah, even the walks, there was another junior at the World Juniors. We had another lad who finished fifth in that competition as well, and he broke the Irish junior record there. So in the next few years, race walking hopefully will still be in the Irish media and spotlight as well as all the other events. But yeah, huge, I suppose, congratulations to Mark. You know, he actually trained with us back in Milford, you know, when I was training myself with a few of the other lads, James King, Dan King, Hugo Dugan, and was training us there, and Carl, his own son there. So I think there's a bit of a Milford connection with Mark, and obviously Letterkenny as well. So yeah, it's huge to see Mark, and he was obviously super, super talented. He used to come down. He's 4 or 5 years younger than me, and used to come down, and he'd be killing me in sessions. So it was obvious for me that he had always had the talent to go far.
And finally then, what's next for Brendan Boyce? Have you got the coaching bug, or perhaps we could see you passing on some of that experience to the next generation, perhaps even maybe back here in Donegal? What do you think?
We had another Donegal walker, Leah O'Gara. She competed at the European Juniors, and she came down to Cork just before she went away to that competition. So she trained with myself and Rob and a few of the other race walkers that Rob has down here. So hopefully I'm trying to convince her to move to Cork so she can train with me, and then we can make another Donegal champion in race walking. But yeah, hopefully Rob's club here is doing really good, Cork City AC. He set that up, you know, just after he retired himself. So I'll hopefully start doing a bit more coaching there. Obviously with the new baby at home, I haven't, I suppose, done a lot of it yet. But yeah, hopefully in the next couple of years, I will go into that coaching sphere, because there's just huge amounts of talent there. And if it's brought up the right way, then we can have more success in the years to come. So yeah, hopefully a bit of coaching maybe a few marathons or half marathons. Keep myself active as well along the way.
Good stuff, Brendan. Must say thank you very much for your time, and the best of luck with whatever you get involved in. And once again, on behalf of Highland Radio here, congratulations on a brilliant career, and enjoy your retirement, okay?
Cheers. Thanks very much.